So over the years, the church, at least in the last 10, 15, 20 years, has kind of morphed its celebration of this particular day in the church year. And if you go back 50 or 60 years, they used to actually do Palm Sunday and then Passion Sunday as two separate events, and then we started to kind of mash them together. And at least here at St. Mark's, I've been kind of pulling them back apart and inviting people into the deeper mystery and the observance of Holy Week. But we noticed that people's attendance at Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday tended to wane over the last 10 years, and so we started this tradition of Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday both at the same time, where we'd celebrate his entrance and then celebrate his crucifixion immediately, because most people were missing that piece of the story, and we'd celebrate on Palm Sunday, and then they'd come back and celebrate the empty tomb, but they'd miss the drama and the passion of what this story and this week is really all about. So you won't get a passion reading today because we're celebrating Palm Sunday. So we invite you to participate with us on Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday. And this year will be especially significant because we have a special treat on Good Friday of observing the seven last words of Jesus. And the reflections are voiced by all of you. And as we reflect on this year together, I'm just so excited for that. So a special invitation to join us on Maundy, Thursday at 7 o'clock on Zoom and Good Friday at 7 o'clock on Zoom as we celebrate this most holy of weeks for us as Christians, so that when we gather next Sunday at 9:30 and celebrate the risenness of Christ, we might more joyfully and deeply understand the profoundness of that joy for us as Christians maybe this year. So as we observe Palm Sunday again, as we go through Holy Week again on these digital platforms, I think we need Palm Sunday even more. And so this year, as I was preparing for this morning and this moment of preaching, the word that continues to come to my mind is Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us, Lord. Maybe that has been your saying, maybe not with the word Hosanna, because let's be honest, that's not a really popular word in English. In fact, probably the only time that you've said it over the last year was probably last Palm Sunday, or when we're singing the Holy, Holy, Holy before communion, Hosanna in the highest. But how many of us have wanted to say, save us, Lord. Save us from this ridiculousness of this year. Save us from this pandemic. Save us from racial unrest. Save us from a divisive and particularly rancid political discord in our country. Save us, Lord. Save us. And so that expectation of salvation, that hopeful anticipation I feel for us this year is on the horizon, saving us in things like Pfizer and Moderna and Johnson & Johnson, the hope of this vaccine and the end of this pandemic. Jesus is riding into our communities in syringe needles this year. But that hope and that expectation, that anticipation that must have been there for the crowds that lined the street that day, I think we can particularly sense in our world this year that hope, that anticipation, Hosanna. Hosanna that maybe something was breaking forth, something new. And so it's interesting for me because the people in the crowds in that day that line the streets with branches and cloaks of garments that watch Jesus on that donkey ride into the holy city of Jerusalem and into the temple, what was it that they were expecting? Well, for them, it was salvation from the oppressive empire of Rome, the overlords that had been long oppressing them and keeping them bound. They wanted liberation, and they expected Jesus to ride in and grant them that release. And so it's not ironic that Jesus enters in the way of military conquest for political leaders and kings and generals after the conquest of war rode triumphantly back into the city in a parade, celebrating their accomplishments. You see, the crowds that surrounded Jesus were expecting him with might to save them. Of course, for those of us who know the story of Holy Week, Jesus was a different kind of king. Jesus offered a different kind of salvation, one that in time would become so much more significant. So what is it that Jesus saves us from? What is it that Jesus offers us salvation for? So as I was preparing this week, I read a story of one of my pastor friends who was meeting with his confirmation students, which is always rife for theological inquiry. And so he had an opportunity to ask the students to write on note cards, ask me anything you want to know. And so four of the 12 students wrote on their note cards, is Jesus necessary for salvation? Is Jesus necessary for salvation? And while I think they were leaning into ecumenical inquiry and wondering whether people of other faiths might be also included in that notion of salvation, I think the pastor flipped it on its head and said, but what are we being saved from? What is it that we are being saved from? And of course, being good, studious confirmation students, they all answered, well, hell. But is that really what we're being saved from? Is that really what we're being saved from? It's kind of the similar way that when you go to the doctor or the dentist and they ask you, have you been exercising and are you flossing your teeth? And you stand there and you go, yes. But is Jesus really saving us from hell? I mean, that in and of itself is a whole sermon on a Holy Saturday about what exactly happened between Good Friday and Easter morning. But I don't think that people were lining the streets that morning primarily concerned with Jesus saving them from hell. I don't think that's why they were shouting to Jesus that day. If the Gospels hint at the crowd's motivation, it was that the people wanted to be saved from the Romans. They wanted deliverance from an occupying army. All of that to say that it decidedly changed the tactics that he was using with the seventh graders. So he said, let me put it this way. If God was on the ball, what would God be saving you from today? And suddenly that conversation with those seventh graders immediately changed. One of the youth raised her hand and said, well, death. Another fellow offered that God would really help him out by saving him from his upcoming math test this week. Then one of the seventh graders said, well, pressure. And another youth said, my parents' expectations. Then another shy individual, almost in a whisper, said, fear. I want God to save me from my fears. All of those answers struck as a more sincere answer than hell. Although I would argue that perhaps that was a more clear picture of what hell looks like for a seventh grader. And perhaps all of us. So can we dip down into our souls and be honest that as these young people were, what is it that we're waving our palms for and boldly cry, Hosanna? Do we dare to imagine that we really want God to save us? Save me from anger. Save me from cancer. Save me from depression of this year. Save me from debt. Save me from this pandemic. Save me from the strife in my family. Save me from the depression that I face. Save me from boredom. Save me from going back to Iraq for another tour of duty. Save me from this endless cycle of violence we continue to see perpetrated in our country week in and week out. Save me from humiliation. Save me from staring at the ceiling at 3 a.m. worrying about things that are beyond my control. Save me from bitterness. Save me from my own self-judgment on the quality of parenting I've been able to do this year. Save me from loneliness. Save me, God. Save me too from my fears. Hosanna. Hosanna. Hosanna, save us, God. What we celebrate today is that Jesus triumphantly enters into that mix to save us. Like Jesus came to save those crowds that day from the oppressive empire of Rome. But here's the mystery. Here's the mystery of how God saves us, because this is exactly the way God continues to save us time and time again and again and again. By choosing not to be separate from us, but being with us. Emmanuel. You see, at the beginning of this story of Jesus, we saw Jesus ride into our world on a donkey too. Maybe in the womb of Mary, but now on the donkey into Jerusalem to save us. And for those of us who witness Holy Week, we see Jesus being with us. Being with us and the disciples in the midst of the drama and the passion of Holy Week. In the midst of the pain and the suffering of Holy Week, God is present with us. Incarnate, present, with us, saving us. And so we see Jesus gather in a meal with his friends to say, take this, eat this. And then we see Jesus serve like a servant and kneel down and wash his feet. We see Jesus with us, saving us, praying with us in the garden, and praying with us in the midst of our troubling times. We see Jesus accepting the persecution of the world by peaceably, willingly, taking and drawing all people to himself on the cross. We see Jesus forgiving those at his right and his left, offering forgiveness for a world that rightfully should not earn that forgiveness for the persecution they offered him. And then we see Jesus with us next Sunday. Spoiler alert, Jesus lives. We see Jesus with us in a new way, in a resurrected way, in a way that continues to transform and reform and remold and raise us up time and time again. Because this is how God saves us, again and again and again, with us in all of this. And so, I don't know what you need your saving from this week or this year, but I do know that Jesus saves all the time, because God is a good and gracious God. So Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, save us. Amen.